Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hi, listeners. Let's get into sacred space before I introduce who's with me. So take a breath. Become very present in this time, taking yourself out of the future and out of the past, and being present with us as we call to the Great Spirit. I call to the two who move as one through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, creator, sustainer, destroyer, past, present, and future, weaver of the web. I call upon the God, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and the gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be.
So mote it be.
Yay! So I am here with the wonderful Madame Pamita. So welcome to the podcast. To sort of dive right in, how do you spiritually identify?
Well, first of all, it's such a pleasure to be a part of this. And that beautiful prayer, it's just nourishing to the heart, really is nourishing. So thank you for that. I have a lot of hyphenates. So I would say I'm a witch, but if I get into the specifics of what my practice is, folk magic, animism, spiritualism, and even, you know, a dash of new thought that goes into my practice as well. So it really is a path that continues to grow and change. I've been a witch since the 80s. So it's, you know, my path has continued to evolve and I bring in new things. And so I'm a hyphenate, but I'm a witch, if you just want a one word answer.
Yeah, no, I think it's good that people realize that witch contains a lot of multitudes. Like, you know, I will sometimes go, yeah, well, I'm a witch, but I'm also a bit of an alchemist, you know, like, yeah. So we'll see, you know, how we define ourselves and how you're defining yourself right now. I think it grows over time and changes, and you get deeper into like what little parts are yours and what might not be yours. You know, it's okay. It's okay to not want to do something too. But I feel like, you know, some of our baby witches, and that's a terrible term because they're just new at everything. They're not babies. They look at witchcraft and then they go, I'm a crystal witch. And they get very into that for a while. And you might grow past that. You might not, you know? So I think it's easy. It's a good thing to ask people is how do you spiritually identify?
Yeah.
So what is your spiritual origin story?
Well, I think, you know, even to address the idea of how you discover witchcraft, and there are so many beautiful paths and an infinite number of places to start. Right? So people will say, well, what should I do first? And I go, to me, in my opinion, witchcraft and magic is a giant map, like a map from Lord of the Rings. Maybe I'm going a little too D&D here, but it's a giant map and you can pick anywhere on the map to start and then wander and go explore and add new experiences and information. And so there isn't really, it's not like mathematics, you know, you have to learn the numbers first and then addition and subtraction and all that. It's not like that. It really is a place where you can land anywhere and wander anywhere, you know, and that really has been my experience for sure. So I grew up in a magical household. My family, we grew up Catholic. But my mom was Ukrainian American, and as a Slavic person, magic and Christianity were not mutually exclusive. So my mother bought me my first tarot deck when I was 10 years old in Salem. Um, I I went into what it was 1974, so I'm guessing very, very good, guess that it was Laura Cabot's shop that we were in. And that she said, pick out a souvenir, and I picked out a miniature Rider-Waite deck. So I can say my witchcraft path started when I was a child, but it was always within the context of Catholicism. And Catholicism can be very magic. Light a candle. Come on, my first candle magic was in a church, right? Light
Do a
a candle, make a
novena.
wish.
Yeah.
And I still go to churches. When I go in churches in Europe, I'll do a spell, inside the church. So that's how it really started, with a mom who was in from a path and a tradition that allowed magic. And then, I was always seeking. Back in the 80s, obviously there was no internet, and it was hard to find sources, even books and things. I mean, I would remember as a child, actually 13 years old, at the school library, I found Sybil Leek's Diary of a Witch, and it was like a mind-blowing revelation. Public library had things like ESP and pyramid power and ghosts and paranormal stuff. So I was able to find sort of things everywhere I went. But then when in the 80s, the late 80s, I discovered feminist Wicca, and we had a very big feminist Wicca group here in Los Angeles. So then I studied Wicca formally there, and became then kind of a solitary seeker after that, and I've been wandering around that map ever since. So.
That's awesome. Thank you. And I feel like it's interesting too to share the stories that we have of where we start, because now people starting out, they've got the internet and there's so much information, it's overwhelming. And I feel like it's a different story for some of us who started without the internet and had typing and like as a
Zines. We
class.
would find things in zines
Zines, yes, yeah. Or for me it was like you could go to like a cups group once in a while
Yeah,
to
that's
go and see
right.
what they did and like explore. So that's great. I love that that whole piece. So what you've already come to Temple Fest once as not a as a presenter, but as a as someone experiencing it, and you're coming to teach this year. What are you teaching about, and what was your experience of Temple Fest?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I went in 2019. So I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Los Angeles. So to come out for something is a bit of a schlep, to come out to the East Coast. But I really had for several years wanted to come to Temple Fest. So in 2019, we finally made it. My partner and I came out, and he's not a witch practitioner, but he's just enjoys, he's very happy to be around witches, right? So we went, and it was just like I said, it was like the most beautiful, soul nourishing experience of like having summer camp with witches. And it was playful and fun and beautiful and magical. I mean, the ceremonies and the ritual were just like so incredibly just deep and moving and magical. And I think about all, of course, me as a teacher, I think about all the planning and work that went into those beautiful rituals that I got to experience. And I was just so grateful, deeply, deeply grateful to all the hard work that everybody did to create these just indescribable, truly magical experiences. So we did like, I don't, can I say what we did, or is it going to be the same? I don't know.
No, it's changes every year.
Okay, so I don't want to do any spoilers, So we had this thing where we walked through the Sephirot to the tarot cards, and we met somebody at each station, and we could choose a path. It was so wild and experiential. And then there was a beautiful, like, I don't know if they called it the wild hunt, but I felt like it was a wild hunt. Was it a wild hunt? That thing where everybody was dancing around the fire and
I
running
don't
around.
remember. I feel like that was the year that we had some sort of like someone had made a wooden sculpture and we were going to set it on fire. And was that that year? Or
I
was
don't
it this like the dancing around the fire?
dancing around the fire year. It was the dancing around the fire. And then parading around and march, going around and just being in this beautiful, beautiful nature and the wonderful friendliness of everyone, the kindness of everyone. I knew Matt Oren, that's and of course Christopher, and just knew a couple people, but to just be in that wonderful nature environment and learning amazing classes. Harold Roth was one of the keynote teachers that year. So anyway, I just think it's like if you even have an inkling or a feeling that you should go, it's just to set aside that space, it will be like opening a treasure chest and just having something that you, that treasure that you can hold in your mind and your heart and sustain you, So beautiful, so incredibly beautiful, and such hard work. But it just was, it didn't feel like hard work. I just know it's hard work. You know what I mean? Like nobody there was like complaining or going, oh my God, this is so hard or anything like that. But I just know all of the work that comes in organizing and doing these things and how incredibly beautiful and experiential it was. And I just encourage everyone to go. If you have even the least little inkling, make it a priority and go.
So, being on the back end of that, I get to see all of the work that goes into it. And I mean, they have a monthly meeting to keep on track as they go through the year, and it's just so much work. And but it is a labor of love for our community. And if you see someone who's on the Temple Fest team, go up and thank them because they are doing a lot of work.
Oh,
So,
absolutely. I didn't say what I'm teaching this year, though.
yeah,
Did
what are
I
you
say
teaching?
that? I got into my experience and how beautiful it was. So this year, I'm very, very, very thrilled to be teaching three classes. So one of the classes is discovering your animal familiar, which is such a beautiful, amazing way to expand your magical practice is to bring nature into your magical practice, whether it's a pet, whether it's a wild animal, a farm animal. When we start to work and share energy with the animals around us, it is a profound and humbling and beautiful thing. So I'm going to talk about how one can bring in animals into your spiritual practice in a loving, respectful, co-creative kind of way. You're going to work alongside animals. So beautiful. So that's one of the classes. Another one is The Myth and Magic of Baba Yaga. I wrote a book called Baba Yaga's Book of Witchcraft, which is about Ukrainian magic, Slavic magic, because that's my background. And Baba Yaga is a really powerful crone figure when we don't really have a lot of crone role models out there. So we can get into understanding who she is, the attributes, how to make a connection with her and what that connection will require and what that connection will bring you as well. And that's going to include a vision journey, going to meet her, which will be very, very fun. And then the third class I'm offering is the Motanka, which is the Slavic spirit doll. So this is a Ukrainian practice of creating a puppet that is a home for your ancestors. So this is the ancestor work, ancestor magic with puppets. It's very unique. It's not like puppet practices. It's sort of, I mean, there's definitely correlations, and we see a lot of connection between Slavic magic and Celtic magic because the Celts started in Central Europe and spread east and west. And so they're kind of like cousins. So you'll sort of see some similarities if you're well versed in Celtic magic, but it's still very unique and a very unique process. And so everyone's going to be making a paper Motunka so that they can take one home. So it's a make and take and learning about it. So yeah, so we're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, those sound great. Now, you of course have like written about the tarot, and I would love to know, what do you think is the biggest misconception people have about the tarot?
So, like I said, I picked up my first deck when I was 10. So I've been around, but I wasn't reading when I was 10. So I was not a child prodigy. But what I did was I got those cards because I probably was the first tarot deck I'd ever seen, let alone had and owned. And I took those cards home and, or I took them, we were on a trip. So I was, taking them and playing with them. But I played with them like paper dolls, with the characters in the cards having personalities and stories. So it was like having like a little set of 78 dolls, except for the, I guess the wands cards and the aces don't really have personalities, but the rest of them have humans on them. So I think that when people start tarot, and I started tarot really as a teenager, starting trying to study and memorize. And I think people think they have to memorize a meaning or look at a chart, those charts that tell you what the things mean. And I think it's much, much more valuable to develop a personal relationship with those cards and the individuals depicted, whatever deck you use. I'm a big, huge fan of Rider-Waite-Smith. I love, Pamela Coleman Smith channeled such beautiful imagery. But whatever deck you use is like build a relationship with the card. And I love to like think of like layering that relationship. So just like you had a like if if you were a new friend, which you are a new friend, and I would say like, well, gosh, I know Adam. He's so smart and he's very articulate and he's very kind and conscientious. And then somebody else that knows you says, oh, did you know he's an amazing dancer and he can cook a mean plum cake? And I'm like, what? There's new information that I didn't know. I didn't know he danced. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to invite him to go dancing sometime, right? So then when you build that personal relationship with the cards and then you layer on the symbolism that is in the cards and other people's insights into what those cards mean, you then have every time a card shows up, you have this, it's like this encyclopedia of information that that card can convey. So when you're doing a reading, what comes bubbling up? Is it the tiny symbol? Is it the person? Is it a feeling? I mean, you can just go in so many directions. So I say when you start learning tarot, start just by looking at the cards, telling your own stories about the cards, and then slowly watch other readers online and see what they have to say. Read books about the deck and see what other people have to say. Go to readings, get readings. I mean, some of the most amazing insights I've gotten are getting readings from other readers. And I'm like, oh, that's a really interesting and cool way of looking at that card. So all of those things can add to your knowledge.
Yeah, no, as a reader myself, I've had times where I've brought out a card and I'd say, this usually means this. But and when I say that, it's usually because I've received something else that this is a new meaning for me. Let me tell you what it's saying. And those are like the best because the person remembers the oh, but it's this time. And they usually come back and are like, that was so insightful, da, da, da. I'm like, I don't know where that came from and I don't remember it really. But thank you. Yeah, so you have a couple of books out now. What was your newest book? And maybe tell us a little bit about your book so that our listeners can find them.
Okay. Well, my first book was Magical Tarot, which looks deeply at the symbolism of the Rider-Waite-Smith, but also looks at the cards in a way that they are about what potential each card has for someone. So I always kind of, I mean, back when I wrote the book, I felt like there was so much information out there that was like fatalistic, particularly about cards like the Tower, Three of Swords, and so on. And lots of people, let's say Three of Swords, which is that sword, I mean, that heart with the three swords stabbed in it. So they'll say emotional pain, sadness, grief, blah, blah, blah. And it's a very fatalistic way. And if you're doing a reading for someone, and I guess if that's your style, I mean, fine, that's your style. But I'm always looking at the cards as a roadmap, like ways, right? I believe in free will. I don't believe in this fated thing that we cannot avoid. We have sometimes strong streams of energy so towards something that so that it may feel like fate. But I always think at any point you can get off the train, right? So if we get Three of Swords in a reading, and somebody just said, well, you're going to be experienced, this is in your future, you're going to be sad. I'm like, well, what do you do with that, right? Okay, I'm going to be sad, I guess. All right, but I stock up on Kleenex. But I look at it like, how do we work with this energy? So the Three of Swords is like, remember that swords are thoughts, ideas, beliefs. And the heart is being hurt by thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. So your work when the Three of Swords comes up is to pull out the thoughts, ideas, and beliefs that are causing you pain, or recognizing how your own thoughts, ideas, and beliefs are creating your own pain, right? So that's why I created that book, but it's because I wanted people to see like how do you work with these energies, whether good or not so good, right? And then my next book was The Book of Candle Magic, which is a book also when I think my impetus behind writing any book is because I feel like that book doesn't exist in the world and it needs to be out in the world. So I felt like that most candle books were recipe books, which are great. I love a recipe book, right? Here you put this green candle for this, and you put a black candle, and then you do this, and you move them toward each other. You do these things, but it didn't ever explain to anyone why you are using a green candle. Why are you moving the candles? Why are you lighting them over 7 days? What is the meaning behind it so that you can create your own spells? So I created this book that was teach breaking down all the components that go into a spell, including things like timings and color and shape and design of candle and layouts of candles. I mean, all kinds of things, so that you could then go, okay, well, I need a spell for bringing success. So what color candle can I use? What day can I start it? Or what timing can I start it? Or and so on. So that was the story behind that book. Then I started researching Ukrainian magic because I knew a little bit from my family, but I didn't know like what was going on, and I was curious. So then I started researching. I learned Ukrainian a little bit. I'm not really great at it, but I learned enough that I could understand and I could start to read things and so on. And started doing research into pulling out and finding things, mostly in like people's doctoral theses. And I mean, I went to primary sources and found things. It was pretty amazing. And then that became Baba Yaga's Book of Witchcraft, which teaches about Baba Yaga, but also teaches about Slavic magic. So, and then my Lit, and then I did Cancer Witch with Ivo Dominguez Jr. I'm a Cancer. I just had my birthday last Saturday. So
Happy birthday.
thank you so much. And so then I wrote that, which is about how you connect as your sun sign. By the way, they have one for every sun sign. It's not just Cancer. So that beautiful book. And then my latest book was The Witch's Guide to Animal Familiars, which is about connecting to the animal kingdom. My next book is going to be The Witch's Guide to Plant Familiars, which is about connecting to the plant kingdom and plant spirits and plants versus working with herbs, but actually connecting to the plants and working alongside the plants and making magic with plants not using plants for magic, but making magic with plants. Same thing with animal familiars, making magic with animals, not forcing animals or, but animals, some animals love to do magic, some don't. So when you have that one that loves to do magic, like how do you do magic with them? So,
That's
yeah.
awesome. On your website, you offer a lot of services like spell work, readings, even kits for people to make their own magic. What do you think, or feel that people really need the most right now?
Well, I feel like we're especially in the States are experiencing very challenging times, very disheartening times. As compassionate people, it's hard, right? So I feel like the what people need right now is joy. What people need is to fill their tank with joy. Because the joy will give you the energy to and the fuel to be able to take action in whatever way. I think there's so many ways. I think we can get overwhelmed with all the things that need doing, and then we can just give up. But we have to look and see where we can do a thing. And don't let anyone guilt you because you're not doing what they think you should be doing. That's the other thing I think too. Are people, that's what I'm preaching. Are people wanting that? No, they want a love spell or they want a money spell. So, you know what I mean?
But
People
that's
still
part of
have
the
their needs.
support, right? Like that's the part of
Exactly.
the, being able in this time to, get through. Sometimes you need love, sometimes you need money, sometimes you
Yeah.
need, certain
True.
things.
True. True.
But
To get those basic needs met helps fill up your tank as well. So one of the things that I'm super proud of is that all of our candles that we make are beeswax candles. I have three beehives. Not all the beeswax comes from my hives because I don't have that many enough hives that I can make as
yeah.
many candles as I make. But we do use the beeswax from our hives in our beeswax, and beeswax is a magical substance. It's a beautiful, clean, healthy, beautiful, magical offering. And I do think of candle magic, whether you offer it directly to your deities and spirits, or you're just doing a spell to, make rent money, you're still making an offering. And it is such a beautiful and worthy offering. So we just love making candles and oils and sachet powders and spell kits and all the things. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. So, you had a podcast that you were doing. Can you tell us a little bit about that so people could hunt down that information if they wanted to?
Yeah, I have a couple podcasts that I've done. One is called Magic and the Law of Attraction, which is about magic. Really, it's about what I, one of the core premises of my practice, which is that the law of attraction or new thought by itself is good, but then it fails at some point when we start to get into perfectionism that I have to think this way all the time to get the goal. Right, to reach the goal, I always have to be thinking positive. I think that magic and the beginning of magic is the thought, is the magician card in the tarot. Is like as above, so below. What we can imagine, we can create in reality. So, I think that the ritual, the spell work, the incantations, all of these things, the connection to the divine. Is as a part of it too, but the thought is the root of the manifestation. So we need that idea of new thought and the idea of that we can focus our thought, but we also, magic allows us to be a little wobbly because in my practice and in my belief, when we bring in allies like the beeswax, like the herbs, like the essential oils, like the color, our own energy that we add to these things, those things can keep our intention going, even if we're a little, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. Is this going to work? Is this real? All of those questions that may come up to in the mind of a spellcaster, right? So I think that we get that support from the natural world around us, the crystals, the rocks, the trees, the plants, the animals, the spirits of the land, the spirits of the trees. I'm a real animist, so I'm gonna go there, right? And we bring these things in when we do our magic. So together with the energies of these things, it is exactly to me how magic works. That's how I see magic, so.
I love that. Yeah, I think as being both a hypnotist, where the law of attraction is everything, and a witch, where magic is everything, I have my own issues with that because I'm like, oh, well, they get very like, you have to think it all the time. You have to say all these affirmations over and over and over again, in the hypnosis world. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but there is such a thing as a power thought, like a thought that has a little bit more oomph behind it because you've added in some of the magic that, you have, either your personal or the connections you have in spirit, that would empower a thought more. So it's almost resistant in a way to the, oh, is this gonna work? later. Yeah, because I think when you don't have the magic part, you don't know when the magic thoughts are gonna happen. They're gonna be stronger. So you have to think it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Because
that
of
support. I think of it like when we bring magic in, I can think sometimes when we're working with law of attraction or we're working with new thought, it sometimes can be like pushing a wheelbarrow up a hill. And when we bring in the support of the natural world around us and the energies that are all around us, my gosh, when we bring that and we work with that, it's like pushing the wheelbarrow down a gentle slope. It's so easy. It is so easy. So I'm still, like out exploring all that. But that's one of my podcasts that exists out there in the world. And it's on hiatus right now because, we're busy with making classes and things like that. But another podcast that I have done too is Baba Yaga's Magic, which is a book, I mean, a book, it's a podcast about Slavic magic. So I talk about holidays, I talk about different elements of Slavic magic. And so that's a great one to listen to if you want to learn more about Slavic magic. So.
Love it. Awesome. So, what technique in your personal practice or your personal spiritual practice right now is helping you?
What is helping me right now? Well, I think, you know what I just find things that I'm interested in, and I find, as Christopher Penzack has discovered, that shamanism is, I went through shamanic training, a year of shamanic training a few years ago, and I blend that with my witchcraft. Christopher wrote an amazing book, Shamanic Witch, I think Shamanic Witchcraft, Shamanic Witchcraft. And I think these two things are, a witch can be a shaman, right? There's definitely overlap with those things, and I find it to be such a deep personal practice. Like I do shamanic services for people, and I get people coming occasionally. More people want tarot readings, but because you have to show up personally and in person for a shamanic reading or shamanic session. But I love I have such joy and delight in traveling, especially traveling to the lower world. It's like, oh my gosh, it's the best. And so that's really nourishing for me. And it's a very personal thing for me. Like I think I offer the services, but I get as much or more out of the
Out of it,
service.
yeah.
I just love my shamanic practice. So that's another part of my hyphenated practice as well. I think it's part of that animism. It's magic in an animistic place. And I just adore the journeys, the shamanic journeys, and I just do them for my own spiritual nourishment. So
Yeah.
there's always something new to discover,
Yeah. Well, as someone who's doing the initiation from that book tomorrow, for my classes, yeah, because I teach all five classes. So I'm doing the initiation ritual for my students tomorrow, and yeah, they've gone through a whole year of dealing with all the fun, and we're going to be conjuring the shadow and facing it. And I have to say, I love the shamanic journeys because I sometimes feel like when I'm just doing meditation on my own, it's very nice, but there's something to like beating on the drum and riding that drum to where you're going that makes the vision so much clearer and the information that flows through so much more detailed. And sometimes it's a bit trippy, but that's the way shamanic stuff works sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just find it such, again, like if you think, I think it's going back to that analogy of landing on the map, all of a sudden you now have new maps and they're vast and that you can explore. And in even in my book, The Witch's Guide to Animal Familiars, I talk about a little bit about, I touch on the shamanic part of working with animals and going on those journeys and how power animals are such a profound thing. I mean, it's not a book on shamanism, so don't go too very deep in it into it, but it give a little taste of it and how that connection, that deep alliance with animals can be such a profound thing. So I feel like, the more, and you probably experience too, the more you know about witchcraft, the more you realize you don't know anything about witchcraft. And there's so much more to learn, always a never-ending joyful journey, really.
And you realize too that there's no way you can contain it all. Because it's so big and vast, and and I think that's part of the journey is is realizing that I'm gonna have to look up the ritual to do like a high magic ritual or like things like that. I'm gonna look that up because I can't hold that all in my brain. So thank you for being on. Where can our listeners find you, find your work?
Well, the headquarters is parlorofwonders.com. And I have actually a little gift for the listeners if they would
Oh,
like it.
awesome.
If you go to either go to Parlor of Wonders, it's Parlour, because I am that fancy bee. It's because Parlor of Wonders with no U was taken by a magician, which I actually loved. So I took the U one. So Parlor of Wonders, spelled the British way, Parlour of Wonders, .com is where they can find me. But if you want to something easier, you can go to spellsquad.com. My spell squad is my subscribers. I have a bunch of gifts for people if they sign up. So if you go to spellsquad.com or you go to Parlor of Wonders and go to join, they both take you to the same place. You can sign up and you will get a 33-page beautifully illustrated ebook called Seven Secrets to Supercharge Your Spell Work. You will also get 13 pages for your Book of Shadows, which are correspondences and things that are super helpful that you can print out. You'll get a link to join me on my Sunday Live Magic Q&A Tea Party, absolutely free to join me and ask questions about magic. It's a 1 hour thing I do every Sunday. So if you have questions like, how do I do this? Or what's this for? Or I heard this? Or what's a good spell for this? I can help you with that. And they'll get a little discount code for the store. So if they want to buy something too. So they get a whole bunch of goodies. So yeah, that's where
Lovely.
you can find me.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us. This was such a great podcast. I'm now gonna let our space close. So bring yourself back into presence. And we thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the God and the Goddess, the Lord and the Lady, who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry
Blessed
meet,
be.
merry part, and merry meet again.
I can't wait to merry meet you again at the
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.